Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Welcome, welcome, Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast. I'm your host, Tom Lackabara-Stewart, and tonight, after waiting long enough to be able to get a hold of this busy man who puts out report after report of incredible information that I can't even keep up with. Your last report, Jake Morfonios, just was posted 16 minutes ago. I didn't even have time to go over it. But wonderful work that you do. I very much appreciate the analysis that you give. I hope that our listening audience checks out Blackstone Intelligence Network on YouTube, as well as the BlackstoneIntel.com website. Folks, the analysis that Jake gives as a conservative, as a Christian, you know, I know that a lot of you are that have tuned into the show before mine, and I have a lot of respect for everybody and everybody's opinions, but call me a cynic when it comes to Trump. I really put Christians really – it's the plight of the Christians in Syria is really disturbing me. And I know that you just put out a report basically stating that the United States is backing these Kurds. And this is a seriously concerning problem because I think Trump, didn't he not his position was that he was going to try and relieve the plight of Christians in these places. And it doesn't seem like that's really happening.
Yeah, that's the problem. When you mess around in third world countries and intermeddle in the affairs of other nations and try and pick and choose winners and losers, you often end up making things worse, and that's really what's going on in Syria. And it has resulted in a lot of persecution. First, there was the persecution of the Christian community from the U.S. backing, the CIA backing of various Takfiri groups, these Salafists and the various terrorist groups like al-Nusra Front, al-Qaeda affiliates. And which morphed into ISIS, and they just went on a killing spree that really is unprecedented there in that region of the world. And so when the CIA switched from backing ISIS to backing the Kurdish population, that brought with it a new set of problems. And so now as the Kurds are up there, they feel they've been given the green light by the CIA, by the U.S. Government to establish Kurdistan, their own nation up there by carving out northern Syria. That has made them think they have the right to go in and take the existing native population and impose their governance on them.
That's the area of Qamishli?
Yeah, up in the northeastern corner, almost into Turkey. Qamishli.
Yeah. God, you know, I know that he said that it was going to be his focus. I know that there was a little bit of a backlash. They were concerned over what that would do in the region. But these people are being really harshly persecuted. And these evangelicals, it seems like they have some sort of cognitive dissonance or something when it comes to these matters. I mean, there was an article that I, the article that you put out, I think you put in your report, evangelicals basically just kind of ignored this problem. And I don't understand if you're a Christian. You know, I've heard some of these folks, like when they refer to the Palestinian problem, a Palestinian Christian was losing his home, and one of the evangelicals comes over from the United States, and he thought he was so brilliant in giving advice, saying, well, you know, you really should let Israel handle that. and you should just, you know, submit to what Israel wants to do. And, you know, I the mindset as a Christian, I mean, are they following the same Jesus Christ that you and I are? It doesn't seem so.
There is a disconnect between between the different flavors of Christianity. There are people throughout time have latched on to religion, and religion, whether it's Christianity or Islam or Buddhism or anything, mm-hmm. people kind of take the religion, and you can do it one of two ways. You can either let the faith change you, or you can take the faith and change the faith to become what you are already. And so if you're the kind of person who is naturally selfish or proud or inconsiderate of other people, and you approach your religious faith in that way, then you can find in religion all kinds of things to give you some sense of self-justification. And that was something that Jesus himself had spoken out against quite a bit during his mortal ministry. He talked to the Jewish people a lot about the leaven of the Pharisees, of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, who were the religious but also political ruling class there in Judea, who knew they could quote anything to you. They had the entire Mosaic law memorized. They could tell you anything you possibly wanted to know. And the people saw them as kind of the religious masters because of their knowledge. But what they did not do was incorporate, internalize the religious faith in a way that changed them from the inside out. So they remained very proud and very stubborn, and they looked down their noses at other people. And Jesus saw that. He labeled them hypocrites. He called them whited sepulchers, meaning they were, you know, clean on the outside, but inside they were unclean or full of dead men's bones.
Like the tombs and the cemeteries, yes.
And that's really, I think, Tom, what the problem is with any religion. And it certainly is the problem in our Christian community, is you do have a division of some who think that how you treat others or how you behave is completely irrelevant. As long as you have said one time in your life at some point or another, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, it doesn't matter how you treat your neighbor. But if that were the case, then we could just take the Bible and take one verse and be done with the rest of it. But Jesus certainly had a whole lot more to say. My personal belief is while my faith in Christ, the atonement, the blood of Jesus Christ, accepting Jesus as my Savior is the only thing that can get me to heaven, because no amount of works I do can get me there. Still, I am very much aware that Jesus said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. And he taught us that over and over. This is how you treat people. Turn the other cheek. Be good. Do good things to those that persecute you, including your enemies. Mm-hmm. And so in the New Testament, Paul talks about this issue of faith versus works. And he says, look, if you have faith, demonstrate your faith through your works, how you manifest or how much you allow this gospel of Christ to take hold in. And so out there in Syria right now, among the Christian community, there are undoubtedly plenty of people who are, you know, they just wear their religion on their sleeves. But in the reading of the reports and watching the videos and things up there in Qamishli, they have really banded together. There has been so much slaughter and so much persecution over the last several years by these U.S.-backed various groups, the rebels and the terrorists. They have been put through horrors that you and I can only imagine. And yet, the way that they are trying to handle things is very Christian-like. They are not seeking vengeance. They are not going back after the people that went after them and trying to kill them and burn down their homes or slaughter their children as had been done to them. And that's, I think, good. That's an indication that they are doing more than than just talking about religion. They're living their faith. Unfortunately, U.S. tax dollars are helping to fund some of the persecution against them. And that's something I would like to see changed, is the are some major changes in U.S. foreign policy.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, another thing I wanted to touch on, because it's timely and I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this, is Senator John Songbird McCain. Now, I know a lot of my listeners know how I feel about this individual. I have, you know, not that I feel like speaking ill of the dead, except burn in hell. you know, I think a lot of things that, you know, they're talking about on mainstream media, they're talking about how courageous he was. People need to realize that this person has been literally behind pushing every one of these Zionist wars. And what has it benefited our country? And you know, I was kind of really hopeful when Trump was talking about that make America great again, put America first. I thought, you know, briefly, I did have a little bit of the cloud that, you know, there's a lot of things he does that I
sure
love. But, you know, the Vietnam veterans that were absolutely completely forgotten about and left behind, not even forgotten about, betrayed by this man. He derailed. He really derailed any attempt to try and go in and find the POWs from Vietnam that were left behind, not just Vietnam, but Korea as well. Then, of course, his father being instrumental in the cover-up of the USS Liberty. And even Cindy McCain chimed in with an email to someone basically saying that she doesn't care about this issue. Hmm. You know, I've spoken to a lot of the Liberty survivors, and Mr. Turney is, I'm proud to call a friend, and, you know, we've had him on the show. He's been on the network. These men were literally, they tried to destroy these men. And it's a glaring look at, to see how callous that these politicians can be over an ideological position. You know, what are your thoughts on John McCain?
Boy, that opens up a... I'll talk 2 hours about that.
Well, go ahead on.
Well, my thing with John McCain was I've had kind of this love-hate relationship. I love to hate him, I guess, is that love-hate relationship. No, I got involved heavily in politics when I was younger because of my family background, and I had the chance to work on some presidential campaigns, and one of them was the 2000 election, and the three top candidates running for, there were about 14 Republicans running for the party nomination. George W. Bush was the front runner, followed by McCain. And then in 2000, I didn't know a whole, or 1999, I didn't know a whole lot about McCain. But I did a lot of research, studied, read some excerpts from his biography, and just really came down to realizing this guy shouldn't even be in the Republican Party. He was a Democrat, called himself a maverick, but that he was unprincipled. That was the thing. And so I actually met him. When I was Steve Forbes, who was in the third place in the running, I took Steve Forbes to the presidential debate as his driver, and when I parked my car out back, I had a chance to meet John McCain, and he's not a nice person. He's just, as a human being, he is not a nice person. The way that all of the women that he has cheated on his wives with, he's just not a good human being. And you know, so he betrayed his wives, he betrayed his country by You know, I'm sure you've talked to your guests about all the Songbird Johnny stuff, his propaganda work for the Viet Cong, and you know, the fiasco on the Forrestal. And
You know what, Jake? I'm a little bit, you know, even though I was a little bit critical of him over this whole Songbird stuff, it would have been not as big of an issue had it not been for the absolute betrayal of the Vietnam vets and that commission that he and Kerry were a part of that prevented us from doing anything about retrieving remains or living prisoners still there. I don't want to judge another man when, you know, thinking that maybe torture was involved, but from what I heard, he pretty much had it pretty cushy to avoid the torture. But let's just say for a minute they were sticking bamboo under his fingernails.
Yeah.
I could be sympathetic to somebody that caved to that kind of pressure.
Sure.
But then when you're in a position of power and you can do something to right an injustice or right a wrong, and you don't, you fail to Maverick my ass. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that, but I'm a little passionate about this because as much as I don't like these wars, I love our veterans because I know why many of them join. It's for all of the best intentions. They want to serve their country. They want to, you know, so I feel when looking at McCain, Lang and State and all these people lining up, I'm sitting there watching like a worship service. You know, it makes Larkin Rose. Are you familiar with Larkin Rose? He's a kind of an anarchist, right? And he's just like a complete anti-statist. I'm a very limited constitutional Republican. And, you know, and I've tried to make the argument with Larkin that, you know, that his ideas. But when I see these people lining up to worship a warmongering betrayer of his own veterans, I have to take a real hard look at, like, whoa, what is going on in America, man?
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't know. Blows my mind.
McCain, he's got a problem with fidelity, whether it's to his own family or to fellow POWs or coming back to the United States, selling out his country. For all the talk of Russian collusion between Donald Trump and Russia, the fact is that John McCain, when he was running for president in 2008, his campaign manager was Rick Davis. Rick Davis introduced John McCain, and the photos are on the internet. He took John McCain to Montenegro, took him out on a yacht. They switched yachts because they got on the yacht of Oleg Deripaska, who was he had this mega yacht. This guy was the right-hand oligarch of Vladimir Putin at the time. Davis was he was the partner of Paul Manafort at the time. They had a lobbying firm. And together, Davis and Manafort were working different sides, different factions of the Ukrainian and Russian oligarchs. And they were cutting deals with them, and McCain was right there in it. He was very much a part of it.
What a hypocrite.
And so for him to come back and in 2016 to play such a role as he did in trying to take down Trump, and I'm no Trump fan, but still, for McCain
saying
every that time, Trump, it's just incredible.
I see Trump attacked so wrongfully, and I kind of feel the same way you do about Trump. I don't worship this guy. I don't worship any president since 1868. Everything that I've learned, I don't worship any president. Mm-hmm. Principles over party, but it seems like you ever see that mob movie? Like every time I get out, they pull me back in. It's like I got to keep defending them, man. All right, we'll be right back, folks. We'll be right back with Jake Morfonios, Blackstone Intelligence, Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. Welcome to the place of the left's hypocrisy.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Well, there's a flood down in Texas. All of the telephone lines are down.
Welcome, welcome back, folks. Resurrector Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Jake Morfonios of Blackstone Intelligence. Please do me a favor, guys. Go to Pruitt's Tree Resin, a sponsor of our show. Pruitt's Tree Resin, I swear by this stuff. I use it. I've been using it for the past week. Tore apart my elbow. This is like right from the tree, right from nature. Pruitt's Tree Resin, where good health and healing comes naturally. TheMiracleSalve.com. You can also reach them at 1-800-422-4716. They were instrumental in helping us along the way through Nevada, through the Bundy Ranch, through Oregon. Good people with an excellent, excellent product. So, Jake, we were talking about one of our favorite people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And the cover-up that ensued regarding not only the veterans, but of course the USS Liberty. And I know that we've talked about this ad nauseum on our show, on this network, but you know, it's one of those subjects that I feel that if I stop talking about, will be forgotten.
And I think that that's important to honor the memory of the people that were killed, as well as the people that have suffered. For listeners that may be tuning in for the first time, or you know, just recently, that may not be familiar with the story of the Liberty. You know, a ship that was attacked by Israel. They knew what they knew. They knew who they were attacking. This is so. And for those of you that are tuning in that may not be familiar with the Liberty story, I don't know how you could not be, but if you go to RTR Truth Media, our most recent post on our Arizona senator is filled with information regarding the USS Liberty and everything that they went through. But I think what is disgusting is the cover-up. And there was a man who I guess, heckled McCain at one of his events and brought up the Liberty. Of course, they drug him out kicking and screaming. God bless that guy. And then, there was, you remember when Blaine Cooper took McCain to task?
That was good.
Oh, that was great. I loved it. You know, I think I'll probably just throw that right in here. I'll throw a clip in after we edit. But Blaine stood up, man. He spoke his heart. And he basically called them all a bunch of treasonous leches, man. That was great. So, you know, what are your parting thoughts on Mr. McCain? You said you could talk for hours on him, so I'm going to give you the floor for a minute, and please inform our audience as to why I'm not a worshiper of this Nero.
Well, the thing with John McCain that I think above everything else is you could set aside his domestic politics and a lot of it, but John McCain was in every sense a puppet of this New World Order syndicate. There are photos out there of him with George Soros, not because Soros was just some guy he bumped into now and then.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain did a lot of work and coordination with George Soros, particularly in Ukraine. Soros played a major role in funding the neo-Nazi groups that helped to overthrow Ukraine. And John McCain himself, he went to Ukraine. He was very much a part of it. John McCain, the fact is, he was a CIA asset. And they used McCain also as the point man to help get funding and support for these different terrorist groups in Syria. And those photos are out there. What a lot of people may not know is that John McCain had an escort, someone who helped set him up with these people. That person who set him up with these groups was Evan McMullen, the man from Utah, you know, CIA, who ran for president to try and, you know, throw the Utah election to Hillary so Trump wouldn't get it, try and goof up the presidential run. But Evan McMullen, his specialty was forming relationships with these various terrorist factions. And he and McCain worked together along with some groups that were arming these parties. And for McCain to come back and look at the American people and talk to us like he's doing any of this for our good, It's ridiculous. It's so dishonest. The man was just a very dishonest, very disloyal human being. He sold us out. And that's what I think the legacy of John McCain should be. What a sellout he was to people who had power.
Yeah, I agree. Folks, we'll be right back with Jake Morfonios. Blackstone Intelligence. I'm your host, Tom Lacabara Stewart, Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Mother of the moon, which filled my sails, rose the sea of years. With no provisions, but in no faces, oh, the straits of fear.
Welcome back, Resurrection Republic Truth Radio broadcast. I'm your host, Tom Lackbear Stewart. We're joined tonight by Jake Morfonios, Blackstone Intelligence. Always a pleasure to have you on, Jake. What the next round here is, how Israel masterminded the Syrian conflict.
Yeah.
For Israel, these wonderful things. So please inform us.
The Israel is very good at working through proxies, working through other people, working through other nations, other organizations, masterminding things, but then stepping back and on the international stage looking like they have clean hands. And I can understand the need to do that. Of course, that's the whole point of the whole motto of the Mossad, about waging war by deception. Deception is very much a part of the tactics of the Zionists. So Syria is a big friggin' mess right now, and it has been for years. The point that I make is that this was not some organic event the way that Western media likes to portray it. Western media likes to say, oh, well, back during the period of the Arab Spring, 2011, 2012, a wave of freedom and a sense of democracy in the hearts of the people, they rose up to challenge their governments. And you know, that's just not true. That's not how it happened. The CIA was stoking unrest and arming groups so that they could rise up and overthrow them. The thing that people don't realize, though, is that this has long been a plan by Israel and to divide up several nations, not just Syria, but several nations. So the first prime minister of Israel, the man who kind of led the Zionists before Israel became a state, was David Ben-Gurion.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the 50s, Ben-Gurion came out with this strategy. He called it the periphery strategy. Mm-hmm. It's a systematic way in which Israel would go into other countries, form alliances with factions, usually oppressed minorities or just groups that had a beef. They would arm them, and they would encourage them to revolt. And they've done this several times. They did it successfully in Sudan. And this is acknowledged. The Sudanese president acknowledged this, that Israel played a major role in the civil war that they had that resulted in 2011 in South Sudan breaking away from the rest of the country. This Ben-Gurion plan that has been carried forward. See, what they do is they arm these groups, and then they create the unrest, and then Israel kind of backs out of it, and they don't take the front and center. They just have the groups go do the fighting, kind of like we never hear about the connection of Israel to ISIS, to the ISIS terror network. Right. And it's quite interesting to me that ISIS never did, in all of the time that they had the opportunity, they never attacked Israel. And Israel is only a handful of miles. Yeah, they're like 10, 15 miles away from some major ISIS locations in southern Syria. And yet ISIS never once went after the Israelis, the Jews. And that tells you something.
Yeah, they were actually taking care of them in their hospitals, too, weren't they?
Right, right. That's correct. That's right.
Oh, good Lord.
So, in the case of Sudan, Israel, after they got the country to divide, South Sudan created their own country. They became their own country. But Israel continued to encourage this unrest. They created instability. They fomented civil war. And it has created such a humanitarian catastrophe that we just since 2013, there's been over a million civilians in this area who have fled their homes. They're displaced. There have been tens of thousands of people who have been killed, civilians, not combatants, not militia members, but civilians caught in this violence. And South Sudan, their economy has collapsed. Hyperinflation, their oil exports have collapsed. And so Israel created this catastrophe. And the people are starving. 5 million Sudanese at the end of 2017, official reports were saying that 5 million of these South Sudanese were in need of emergency food assistance, or they were going to starve to death. So this collapse of the Sudanese economy and everything that came with it, this was part of that periphery strategy that Ben-Gurion had plotted, not just for the Middle East, but for North Africa. Basically, anywhere there was any country that could pose a challenge geopolitically the region.
Yeah, let me chime in with a quote to give people a little bit of context. This is what David Ben-Gurion said. Jews want to create a one-world country with Jerusalem as capital, where Jews are treated as a master race. All other continents will become united in a world alliance at whose disposal will be an international police force. You wonder why our police go to Israel and get trained by the IDF? All armies will be abolished, and there will be no more wars in Jerusalem. The United Nations, the truly United Nations, will build a shrine
of the prophets to serve the federated union of all continents. This will be the seat of the Supreme Court of mankind to settle all controversies among the federated continents, as prophesied by Isaiah. Bro, that sounds just slightly satanic, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah, Ben Gurion had all kinds of good quotes. He also said, it's not a matter of maintaining the status quo. We have to create a dynamic state oriented towards expansion. The Zionists, they were not going to be satisfied with that the little sliver of land that was given to them by the United Nations or apportioned to them. They wanted to expand and to go into Egypt, take the Sinai Peninsula. They want Syria. They want parts of Iraq. They, Lebanon, all of this, Jordan, that's their goal. And so this periphery strategy would meet that by first weakening all of these nations around them, and then Israel could set up their own bases, outposts, kind of like they did in the Golan Heights, which is occupied territory. They, it's Syrian territory, but Israel controls it. And so that's what they were doing in Sudan as a way of trying to offset the regional power of Egypt. You've got Egypt, and then Sudan is right under Egypt. So they split Sudan and took control of part of it. And so that's what they're doing in Syria. The Israelis have masterminded this strategy to split the country, divide it up. It just so happens that the part that is now in the hands of the Kurds is the north, primarily the northeast, where the majority of the oil fields are. And so that's under Kurdish control right now. It was under ISIS control. Then they transitioned it over to Kurdish control. And so that's what they're doing. The idea is never let Syria get that land back and eventually take some more land. It's just like they do in Palestine. You take a little bit here, take a little bit there, use any justification to go to war. Oh, these guys fired some bottle rockets at us. Nobody got hurt, but hey, let's go carpet bomb Gaza. Let's go up to the West Bank and bulldoze 100 more homes of people who had nothing to do with any of this, and then build settlements on it and take the land from the people. That's going to help matters. So it's I have for a long time enjoyed studying the Old Testament. I enjoy the history of the Middle East, the Holy Land. I appreciate the contributions that Jews have made, and there is nothing anti-Jewish in me. I some people out there are. I am not. I even celebrate the Passover with my family each year, a Christian version.
I used to every year too.
Did you? Yeah. But as far as politics go, the geopolitics of the Middle East, the Zionist state of Israel does engage in a lot of very racist behavior toward the Arabs, but not just the Arabs. Back in the 80s, to build up their population, the Jewish population, to justify expanding and taking even more Palestinian territory, what the Mossad did was they brought in tens of thousands of Ethiopian Jews, totally black Ethiopian Jews from Africa.
Yeah, yeah.
But in bringing them in, they required that the women be given birth control.
Yeah, and without their knowledge.
Yeah, yeah.
For a long time.
Right. They couldn't figure out what was going on. They didn't understand. They thought they were just getting some vaccines or something. But yeah, it kept them from being able to have a normal birth rate. And you read the just horrible statements by some of the top rabbis, including the top rabbi in Israel. They call black people monkeys and gorillas and just say horrible things. So racism, for whatever reason, is very much a part of the culture. And that racism is largely directed at the Arab community. And what upsets me some about our Christian Zionist friends here in the United States is that not all of the Palestinians are Muslims. A lot of them are Christians. And so you've got Arab Christians in places like Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, being persecuted by the Zionists, who are almost all atheists. The majority of the people in Israel are atheists. Now, atheists or non-practicing Jews. Yeah. Those that are the most religious, the ultra-Orthodox Jews, most of them are anti-Zionist. Most of the ultra-Orthodox Jews
I know quite a few of them.
Yeah, you can look on the internet, find pictures of, just type in anti-Zionist New York City, and you'll see crowds of thousands.
And it's never reported by the mainstream media. They're silent. They're waving signs, protesting
Zionism.
Ideologically, I don't agree with them either, but I agree with them far more than others.
So it just the role that this plays in the world, the oppression of the Palestinian people, whose hands are not totally clean. I'm not suggesting that. Back in 2002, 2003, back during the second Intifada, I was a strong opponent of Palestinian terrorism that was being committed.
I remember
that, you know, the bus bombings and suicide bombings and stuff like that. It was horrible. So I speak out against both sides. It's not that I'm anti-Jew, anti-Arab.
Well, I understand that, Jake, but, you know, I have to think back, and I'm not trying to be an apologist for terrorism in any way, shape, or form, but if I looked at the American government, if they started doing the same thing. I mean, first of all, let's look at a micro situation of that, which look at the Hammonds and the Bundy Ranch.
Right.
They didn't go in there and bulldoze their house. But they were economically terrorizing them. They were terrorizing them with color of law, and all kinds of people stood up and said, no, this is morally repugnant. We are not going to allow you to do this thing. And my position with other Christians is, if do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I don't care if they're Muslim, whatever they look. I'll try and bring them to Christ later, but I don't care what ideological beliefs they have. I'm not going to let them politically or theocratically take over my culture, my area, my home. But if they have a piece of private property and they're not bothering anybody, and you come and bulldoze it and build an only one type of whatever it is on that property. Could you imagine if the federal government allowed, I don't know, for ideological purposes, let's use the Smurfs as an example. Let's say the federal government allowed the Smurfs to move into all of these sections in Nevada and bulldoze these farms and build Smurf-only buildings and Smurf only roads and checkpoints, and if you're not a Smurf, you have to wait at a checkpoint even to get to a hospital for how long do you think it would be before one of us started blowing up Smurfs?
There's no question there would be, and I believe the Palestinians are totally justified in fighting back. Absolutely. And I tell that to, I have made the same argument to my Christian friends and non-Christian friends here in the United States who are very pro-Israel, very anti-Palestinian, who constantly call the Palestinians terrorists, and they point to the tactics they use. But here's the thing. Israel has a very modern army. They probably have nuclear weapons. They certainly have I think that they used a tactical nuke in Yemen. I think there's evidence of that, but
they stole them from us. What, from Pennsylvania? I mean, a long time ago.
But they have not only their own weapons, their own military. They've got the full backing of the United States military. Heaven forbid anything happened to Israel and some nations rose up, if Israel couldn't handle it, you can bet that the United States would jump in there and back them. So when you've got that, and then over here you've got kids with rocks, what else are they going to do? Of course, there's going to be turning to to shooting rockets off that are not going to have any kind of missile guidance system? Are they going to fall in civilian neighborhoods? Of course they are. These things that they do are understandable and I think justifiable. The problem I have is, and they haven't done this in a long time, but the conscious, concerted effort to create a sense of terror by going into, say, a shopping mall, like they did back in 2002, I think it was, and blowing up an ice cream parlor that's full of kids. You know, that I cannot justify, even if they did something like that.
I agree. So that's only where
I draw the line, and I'm not supposed to talk about it. I've been advised not to talk about this, so I won't. But I will say that I'm going to be spending a little time in the Middle East, meeting with a lot of people there who have been oppressed, and talking with them, interviewing, hearing their stories, talking with politicians and others about getting their perspective in person. I've been an armchair commentator for 2 decades now on the troubles over there in Israel, Palestine.
God bless you for that.
But I'm going to go over there. I remember back in, it was during that second Intifada. I made fun of this person. I just got this book this week. There was this American girl named Rachel Corey that had gone over to Gaza.
Hold that
book
up again. I didn't catch that.
Let Me Stand Alone. Yes. Okay. The journals.
Yeah. So this girl, young girl, college age girl, went over there, and she was basically she met up with some other activists, and Israel, of course, was bulldozing homes and on Palestinian land, and she went out as an activist, as a peace activist, nonviolent, but she would go and get out there and shout through a megaphone and wave mm-hmm. signs and stuff like that.
But she was, yes.
She went and stood in front of one house that they were going to bulldoze.
A doctor's house.
Yeah, the IDF was driving the bulldozers. They knew she was there. They say they didn't know, but, you know, she's standing there with a bullhorn. They certainly knew she was there. But they ran over her, broke her back, you know, crushed her spine, and she died. And I remember back at that time writing. I was a writer, and I remember penning something along the lines of, well, if you support the terrorists, then don't be surprised if you get killed in the process. And because I used to be kind of a Christian Zionist kind of person, I saw from only the Israeli perspective, or at least the Israeli propaganda perspective. Mm-hmm. But over the years, as I have stayed with this issue and studied, I have come to have a much broader view. And while I empathize with Jewish civilians, though they may be few in number that get killed, I see the masses of Palestinians who are being butchered like animals. And the attacks on Gaza in 2014, the war, the dropping of illegal incendiaries on them, the white phosphorus and things like that.
Oh yeah, I like when they claim that other people are using chemical weapons, right? What a joke.
I have always regretted. It's been what, 2003 since she died, and yeah, March 16th, 2003, and that's always bothered me. I have always felt regret. So what I did was just recently I bought this book. She didn't write it. What it is a compilation of her emails that she was writing home to her family, talking about the plight of the Palestinians and so forth. And I've been reading it, and she's very articulate, and I feel very much like I'm in solidarity now with what she was trying to do. And I see what Israel is doing around the world, the Zionist regime, and I see the amount of control that they have, the amount of influence in the United States government, particularly in the U.S. State Department. And it is shocking. And if the American people, if it was any other group of people other than the Israeli Jews, who had this kind of, they make up between 1 to 2% of the total U.S. population, and yet they are brimming in all levels of the U.S. government. It's so vastly disproportionately represented. It's shocking. If it
Jake,
was the time,
I have to say that I'm very surprised that a tractor has not been flipped up on top of you to crush you to death, like a certain favorite politician that I had named James Trafficking. I'm surprised that that hasn't happened to me either. But
yeah, you know, it's well, my first YouTube channel got shut down by the Zionists in 2014. It was after. After I had done a lot of reporting on that Gaza war and the atrocities being committed by Israel, and I was particularly upset with Eilat Shaked, an Israeli politician who was talking about how basically calling for the genocide of the Palestinians, and she posted on Facebook that Palestinian mothers needed to be killed so they couldn't reproduce any more little snakes. And so I did a video calling her out, and she denied that she had said that. What she didn't know is that I had a screenshot that I had taken before she deleted the stuff. So I put it up in my video, and these Hasbro trolls from Israel attacked me like crazy. They hit me hard, did a bunch of copyright strikes, false copyright claims on my videos.
Yeah. Yeah. And, they killed my channel. They killed 6 years worth of work, and I wasn't prepared because I had just gotten out. Remember you and I did the interview in January, and my channel started steamrolling all of a sudden. Like, you know, I for a year I was kind of held over the Oregon thing, and I figured it had died on the vine. You know, it was going to take some work to bring it back. As soon as I started posting again, people were like, where you been? Oh, wow. You know, and it started taking off again. And it wasn't. I did the interview with you. I did the interview with Cliven. And then that was it. They cut me off. And it was in part because there was this cop I was talking about. I was talking to Wolfgang Halbig just earlier today about this. You know, the gentleman who's really kind of asked a lot of very hard questions over Sandy Hook. James Canning is a constable in Pennsylvania who had somebody from Homeland Security reach out to him, a friend of his. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. I hate these breaks. It, you know, just getting into some good territory. Anyway, folks, we'll be right back into... I believe our second hour, Resurrect the Republic Truth Radio broadcast with Jake Morfonios, Blackstone Intelligence, and I have some really interesting information to share with you on the other side. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.